The deadline's coming for Obamacare. Then what? From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. The White House says more than 6 million people have signed up for insurance under the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, this ahead of the Monday deadline. Marketplace's Noelle King joins us to talk about what's ahead. Good morning, Noelle.
Good morning.
So people are signing up. More can sign up this weekend. But what are the big issues that are still to be resolved, the big questions going forward?
Well, to start off, we don't know how many people have actually paid their first month's premium. You're only covered when you make that payment, and there are likely going to be some people who sign up, delay paying, and are still uninsured. Secondly, remember, the goal was to get people who didn't previously have insurance, and there aren't reliable numbers on how many of the 6 million were in that group.
And they wanted young, healthy people especially. Is there evidence they've gotten enough of those to make this sustainable long term?
There's not firm evidence. You know, this is the coveted demographic that will help keep premiums low. And the administration is appealing to them in a couple different ways, with a healthcare themed March Madness bracket and with some funny videos. And some insurers say they are seeing more young people getting coverage, but it'll be a while before we know if it's enough.
Now, the deadline for signups, that is Monday. It has been extended and modified before. What's the story now?
Well, it's not a firm deadline. The administration says if you've tried to sign up through the federal marketplace and had problems, you'll be given a grace period of a few weeks. It's an honor system, so they're relying on people to tell the truth about whether they tried to sign up before the deadline.
Marketplace's Noelle King, thanks very much.
Thank you.
The movie about farm labor activist Cesar Chavez opens today. It is in English, but a new smartphone app allows moviegoers to hear it in Spanish. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports on a new technology that's bringing two languages to one theater.
Movie makers depend on Hispanic consumers more than ever. Fiona O'Donnell evaluates consumer trends for the company Mintel.
Hispanics as a whole, their movie-going habits far exceed that of the U.S. general population.
Hispanics not only go to the movies more often, research shows they also spend more on concessions. But some 23 million Hispanics don't go to the movies because they don't speak English. So a new smartphone app called MyLingo allows moviegoers to listen to the Spanish language soundtrack in sync with the movie. Company co-founder Olenka Polak sees big potential for Hollywood to increase its audience.
By having the app available for the Spanish language, box office revenue can increase by $1.14 billion, which is 10% of the domestic annual box office sales today.
MyLingo is giving away the Spanish language download for the Cesar Chavez movie for free. After that, the app will cost $2 per download. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Let's talk now about the place where you're likely to spend 8 hours today or more. The latest issue of The Atlantic looks at some of the most interesting research about how the office is designed and what it does to us. It's by Associate Editor Julie Beck, who covers health. Hello, Julie.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Now, unless you work someplace that's pretty cool and is into design, generally ugly overhead fluorescent lighting is kind of something you have to deal with in the office setting. And it apparently has some pretty surprising effects on us. Explain what researchers have found about this.
So the brightness of the lights in your office, it affects your emotional state. So when the lights are brighter, one particular study found people were more aggressive. They found other people more attractive. They felt better about good things and worse about bad things. And so that can be good or bad, I suppose. But when the lights are dimmer, you are much more calm. And also, natural light is better and has been found to improve your sleep quality and things like that.
Okay, today I am sitting in for the regular host, David Brancaccio, but I could also say that I'm standing in for him because he is a big fan of the standing desk, very popular at Marketplace these days. What do studies show about the pros and cons of being on your feet for a large part of the day?
Yeah, so a lot of people at The Atlantic are really into the standing desk now, too. There have been reported health risks of sitting for more than 6 hours a day. People who sit a lot have, you know, higher risk for premature death and various other health risks, but the standing desk hasn't been studied enough because it's sort of a newer craze that people are getting into. But there was, one study that said that standing for more than 8 hours a day, so, you know, that's right on the edge of the amount of time that most people spend at work, can cause back pain, foot pain. For pregnant women, there's a risk of preterm birth, so it's not necessarily the perfect solution.
Okay, now you go to work every day at The Atlantic. After doing this story and pouring through all this research, what do you think of your desk and your workplace? How are you looking at it differently?
I sometimes feel like I am about to be guilted into trying the standing desk. I don't really like it. I don't think I can like type well standing. So I'm still sitting, but I definitely think about it sometimes.
Okay. Julie Beck with The Atlantic. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Speaking of The Office, we've got a whole series on the changing nature of work in America we did in partnership with the New York Times. Check it out at marketplace.org. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers in New York. I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.